Excuse me, so sorry to disturb you, but you look like you love Black History. And if I'm right, you need to check out the Black History Buff Village over on Patreon. There's no ads or annoying interruptions like this. Just post after post of beautiful Black History. When you get a minute, please check it out. You won't regret it. Link's in the description. All right, I'm off now. Bye. What's good, family? Welcome back to the Black History Buff podcast. I'm King Carus, and today we're diving into a story that will change how you hear Cuban music forever. But before we start, I want to try something new. I know many of you have expertise that I don't, whether it's cultural knowledge, family stories, or just catching things I got wrong. So here's how you can help make this show better. First, if I butcher any pronunciations, and I probably will, teach me the right way. Use your voice and say it to me correctly. Secondly, what did I miss? What important piece of this story should I have included? And third, how would your community tell this story differently? What cultural context would help me understand this topic better? You can email voice recordings to me or use the SpeakPipe link in the description, and I'll feature the best contributions in upcoming episodes. Because honestly, your expertise makes this show stronger than anything I could do alone. All right, with that said, let's start today's show. Picture colonial Havana after dark. In a cramped patio, a single drum booms like thunder. Rattles answer. Voices chant in a language the Spanish cannot decode. Neighbors cross themselves and hurry past. But insiders, they smile. The Abacua Lodge has opened its sacred door. In 1836, men stolen from the Cross River regions of Nigeria and Cameroon brought something unbreakable to Cuba's ports, the leopard societies, the Ekpe. In Havana's shadows, they rebuilt their brotherhood as Abacua. Members called themselves Abenekwe, the chosen ones. They governed lodges called juegos and spoke in coded drum language Bonco Enchimia. When you hear that offbeat in Cuban rumba today, that's their voice still speaking. Spanish officials called them nenegos, a slur that dripped with fear. They outlawed the meetings, jailed the drummers, blamed every slave uprisings on these mysterious brotherhoods. But here's what terrified the colonizers the most. Excuse me, so sorry to disturb you, but you look like you love Black History. And if I'm right, you need to check out the Black History Buff Village over on Patreon. There's no ads or annoying interruptions like this. Just post after post of beautiful Black History. When you get a minute, please check it out. You won't regret it. Link's in the description. All right, I'm off now. Bye. Abekwe worked. When Black dock workers who had no legal personhood needed funeral money, Abekwe provided it. When freedom seekers needed hiding places, Abekwe networks sheltered them. When illness struck the ports, when injuries left families desperate, when colonial authorities turned their backs, Abekwe stepped in with medical expenses, community care, and the promise that no member would face crisis alone. Even those who had dismissed them as dangerous began to see the truth. These men were the backbone holding their communities together. I can almost hear it. The scrape of shackles under that drum skin. Then the moment of defiance as the rhythm says, "We are still here." It reminds me how music has always been our covert language of survival. Coded work songs on rice plantations, steel pan signals in Trinidad, hip hop in New York basements. The beat carries what words cannot. Today, Abekwe survives. Police crackdowns couldn't kill it. Vatican disapproval couldn't silence it. It remains a living shrine to African continuity in the Americas. Every time a Cuban conga line hits that offbeat, the chants echo. Every time that rhythm breaks the expected pattern, something ancestral stirs. Listen closely the next time you hear Cuban music. That's a leopard roaring across the ocean. All right, family, that's the story of Abakua. But remember what I said at the beginning? I want to hear from you. Did I mispronounce any words? I am convinced that I did, right? If so, send me voice recordings with the correct pronunciations. Tell me if I missed anything about Abakua's influence on Cuban culture. What connections to other African diaspora traditions should I have mentioned? And if you have Cuban, Nigerian, or Cameroonian heritage, how would your community tell this story? What cultural nuances would help me and us understand this better? Please use the SpeakPipe link in the description or email me voice notes. Your contributions will make future episodes stronger, and I'll feature the best ones in upcoming shows. Thanks for listening, family. Stay blessed, stay informed, and please keep making history. Hey, you stay till the end credits like only the smartest of people do. Listen, if you stuck around this long, you sound like the kind of person who might really enjoy my Patreon. Over there, you'll get access to hundreds of ad-free posts, early access to videos and recordings, bonus content, and whatever else I can think of to add value to your life. And you can join for free. Plus, if you join a paid tier, you'll get your name in the end credits of videos and that warm, fuzzy feeling of knowing that you're helping me make the show bigger and better. You can find me by searching for Black History Buff on Patreon or by using the link in the description. That's it. I'm done. Thank you so much for staying with me, and I hope you'll stick around for more episodes and share them with your friends. Till next time, stay blessed.